Welcome to the Ask Dr. Deanna Show. I'm Dr. Deanna Osborne, your host. Join me weekly as I cover various health-related lifestyle medicine topics that you get to request. This show is for anyone who wants to proactively improve their health position. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Excited to be with you for yet another episode of Ask Dr. Deanna. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about metabolic dysfunction. And this is a topic that really I deal with a lot in my practice. And you guys know that my practice is somewhat traditional, but then also functional medicine is the thing that I love. I love to help people figure out a way through lifestyle medicine or functional medicine to basically create a sustainable lifestyle that will help to reverse disease. And so this month, that's really what we're talking about is reversing certain diseases that I have to deal with in my practice every single day. Last week, we talked about reversing type 2 diabetes, which was a great one, had lots of people asking about that particular topic and just wanting to learn more. This week, we're talking about reversing fatty liver disease. So let me kind of share a story, and this is sort of a unfortunately, more common than what I would like for sure. I would like to not have this in my practice at all, but it's a very, very common and really kind of staggering thing. So there's a disease called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And for many of you listening, you probably know somebody who has or has been diagnosed with fatty liver disease, because it's actually, believe it or not, about 30% of the U.S. population has a fatty liver. That's a lot. I mean, that's more than one out of four of us, okay? So if you think about 30% of the population has fatty liver disease, which causes the liver to not be able to function properly. 10% of children in the United States have a fatty liver disease. So here's the trend that I saw in my practice and why I feel very passionate about this particular disease. And I know that it can be managed through diet, through lifestyle. But basically, it is not uncommon to have a 50-year-old. Okay. So someone who's 50 years old, they've never been a drinker. You know, this is also called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So they've not ever been a drinker. That's alcohol is not the cause of their liver disease. And basically, they develop symptoms. Okay. It starts out fatty, and then the fatty liver turns into a fibrotic liver, which eventually turns into cirrhosis of the liver. And then you have a non-functioning liver altogether. They end up with various degrees of liver failure. This oftentimes causes something horrible called hepatic encephalopathy. And that means that basically, you know, you're having altered mental status because your liver cannot clear the toxins from your body. So your liver is actually a filter. So imagine a filter in any piece of equipment that you have in your home or your car or whatever. If the filter gets all nasty and dirty and it's not working right, whatever that piece of equipment is, it's not going to work right. And so it's the same for us with our liver. It's really important that we take care of our liver because of this. And so what happens then is they get to a point, they've now got cirrhosis, which is not reversible. So when you get to that phase, you can no longer reverse this disease. Okay. When it's fatty liver, we can reverse that. We can do something about it. But as it starts to move through these stages and it becomes fibrotic and then ultimately cirrhotic with the cirrhosis, then that's just a completely scarred, liver, imagine scar tissue. You can't really do a whole lot about it. It just is what it is. And so that's what happens. Well, so then I would have patients who, you know, in their 50s end up, now they're on a transplant list. Well, when you're on the liver transplant list, it's not uncommon that the liver that you're going to get, okay, because you need one now, is probably going to be from maybe somebody who's overdosed and has a lot of other issues. And so far in my practice, whenever I've seen somebody who ended up with a liver transplant, after the liver transplant, then they end up usually with hepatitis C, which is treatable, okay, with medication, but that liver was infected with hepatitis C. So now they've been given an infected liver. that's treatable, right? And then they go on a medication that is needed to prevent the rejection of that liver. And that medication has as a side effect kidney failure a lot of times. And so it's this whole horrible process, okay? You can see, you know, here I am looking at this situation with a 50-something-year-old fatty liver patient. And the sad thing is I don't believe that anybody's really teaching them all along that there are things that you can do. There are things that you can do to prevent this, you know, and for some people, I feel like, okay, they get their new liver and they continue to eat the same things. They continue to not modify their lifestyle, which just means that current liver is not going to last, you know, the rest of their life either. So it's this huge thing. You can see why I would be so passionate about this, because this is something that we can change. When 30% of us in this country have fatty liver, which is another word for it would be metabolic dysfunction, which, you know, it's kind of like the type 2 diabetes, you know, that's again, a metabolic dysfunction. So that's really what I wanted to talk about today. Is just what, you know, what are the symptoms? What can we do? It is heavily linked to type 2 diabetes. It is heavily linked to obesity. It also will typically see hypertension as well as some coronary artery disease associated with it. And it's not uncommon for people who have a fatty liver to have some right upper quadrant pain. So that's pain in your upper abdomen on the right side. And some people will have chronic pain that goes on for years where they are, you know, struggling with this pain in the right upper quadrant. And they go get a scan. And what does the doctor tell you? Oh, you've got a fatty liver. You need to lose some weight. And that's it. Okay, that's not enough. We have to have a serious conversation so that people understand, no, this starts out as a fatty liver, which is reversible, changes into a fibrotic liver if you don't do anything about it, which then ultimately turns into a cirrhotic liver. And then, you know, you're on the list for transplant. So the right upper quadrant pain, and then the other thing that we would typically see would be just tiredness, fatigue, maybe an elevation of some liver enzymes. We'll see that from time to time with it as well. But it is also, as that liver, you know, changes and becomes more cirrhotic, it actually has an increased chance of developing liver cancer. And then also something called esophageal varices. Esophageal varices are sort of like, gosh, the best way to describe it would be a hemorrhoid on the esophagus. Sounds horrible, I know, but it absolutely is. And it can be life-threatening because, you know, you can cough and those things can bleed. So this sounds like a very gruesome talk today, but it's a serious condition. And we do have the answer. So the answer for fatty liver is simple. It is a sustainable lifestyle that includes intermittent fasting. Okay, so intermittent fasting is designed to, it's basically a program where you fast for a certain number of hours per day, and then you have an eating window. And what that does is it makes your cells more sensitive to the insulin your body's making, and it also allows you to not store sugar in your system as fat. Okay. So it basically helps with weight loss. And typically for intermittent fasting, I will have people start out with 12-hour fast every single night. And then from there, I will have them move toward 14 hours and then ultimately at least 16 hours. So they would basically fast for 16 hours, sort of like skipping breakfast every morning. And then they would end up eating in an 8-hour window. In February, we did a whole series on intermittent fasting, pretty much everything you need to know. Each week I talked about intermittent fasting and the do's, the don'ts, all of that. So you can go back and listen to that series from February to learn more about that. And then the other thing that I do in my practice is I recommend just really strict carbohydrate reduction. Okay, so generally when I have somebody who's trying to lose weight, I will limit them to about 50, no more than 50 grams of carbohydrates per day. To kind of put that in perspective, a slice of toast has 21 grams of, or a slice of bread has 21 grams of carbohydrates. So we try to limit to 50. And sometimes you'll hear me say no sugar, no grains, and nothing to eat after dinner, which is just kind of a really easy general rule of thumb that will help you along the way. When people say, simplify it for me, That's the simplest I can get. No sugar, no grains, nothing to eat after dinner. And then if you can skip breakfast, that would be great. So why do we do that? Well, it makes our cells more sensitive, like I said, and it's also a detoxification. It's a cellular cleansing that is taking place when we are employing intermittent fasting into the program. This is critical that we reverse this whole metabolic dysfunction, because when you look at these metabolic conditions, we talk about type 2 diabetes, we talk about fatty liver, we talk about hypertension, we talk about coronary artery disease, but we also have to throw in there Alzheimer's. Okay, so there's more and more research out there kind of supporting the fact that Alzheimer's is sort of a metabolic condition that's going on in the brain. You know, there's a lot of issues with our current food supply that kind of plays into this. So let's stop for a minute and think about the fact that you have a fatty liver that's maybe not functioning as it should. It's a filter that needs cleaned out. And now you're eating the standard American diet, okay, which is loaded with high fructose corn syrup, sugar, and lots and lots of chemicals that are preservatives, et cetera. And your liver's job is to filter out chemicals and just junk that's not supposed to be in your body. And so here you are kind of doing a disservice to your liver. So one of the things you can do is eat a whole food, nutrient-dense, clean diet, okay? So get rid of all the processed. These ultra-processed foods have to get, you know, out of our diets. So, you know, nothing out of a bag, a box, or a drive-through window. That's something that I say all the time too. And, you know, they've kind of changed the name. It used to be non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. They actually have, in 2023, they changed the name to metabolic dysfunction associated steatotic liver disease. Okay. We don't have to go into that, but basically they're calling it a metabolic disease at this point. That's my point of that. And so we can make a change in our diet that can make a huge difference long term. So let's talk about high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup is something that's very, very cheap that is used to sweeten foods. And it's used extensively in the US. You won't find it used in Canada. You won't find it used in Mexico. Lots of countries don't allow it. We do allow it in the US. And you'll see it in soda. Okay. So pretty much any kind of pop or soft drink, you typically will see high fructose corn syrup. If you were to get a sweetened tea, through a drive-thru or something, that's going to have high fructose corn syrup in it. Typically condiments like ketchup or barbecue sauce, sometimes salad dressings, even bread a lot of times will be sweetened with high fructose corn syrup. The problem with high fructose corn syrup is our liver cannot metabolize it. And it actually accelerates this whole fatty liver condition, and it contributes to type 2 diabetes as well. So the high fructose corn syrup plays in to this whole condition called metabolic dysfunction that is making us sick, okay, and causing us to get sicker and sicker each, you know, passing year that we continue to eat more and more of the high fructose corn syrup and all the artificial foods. So when I think about this disease, I think, wow, you know, we could make such a difference in our society, number one, by banning high fructose corn syrup. Number two, by teaching people to eat a clean diet and avoiding all of the chemicals, and helping people understand how important the liver is, how important healthy weight is. Okay, so that's a big part of it, is we have to maintain healthy weight. And it's not just about, you know, you look good, you feel good, you know, all of that. From a weight standpoint, it is about what's going on inside and, you know, being the healthiest version of yourself that you can be. And so I am a strong advocate of intermittent fasting, of carbohydrate reduction. I mentioned earlier when I have patients who are trying to lose weight, I will limit them to 50 grams of carbs. When I have somebody who has the severe metabolic dysfunction, such as this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, I actually will reduce their carbs down to 20 grams a day. And I know that sounds, you know, really strict. It requires, you know, that level of, you know, moderation. It basically, for that person, they just really have to eliminate the carbs. And here's the good news. When you look at diet and you look at food, our food supply, you know, we have essential amino acids they call them essential because, you know, we've got to get them in our diet. And essential amino acids would be our proteins that are the building blocks for so many other things within our body. We also have essential fatty acids. That means it's essential that I get it in my diet. My body can't make it. But there are no essential carbs. There are no essential carbs. So we can eat a diet you know, that basically, you know, is a diet of protein, good quality protein sources that are clean, healthy fats, and very limited carbohydrates, which can absolutely reverse this whole process. So that's it for today, reversing fatty liver disease. If I could wave a magic wand for diet across the U.S., I would wave a magic wand and basically reduce the amount of sugar and grain in everybody's diet. And I think that we would see a massive transformation in the area of metabolic dysfunction, but also in the area of autoimmune disease. So tune in next week, because next week we will be talking about reversing autoimmune conditions with lifestyle medicine as an avenue or as a tool to help with that. So thanks so much, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that episode. For more information, visit me at deannaosborne.com. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dr. Deanna Osborne. I really want to hear from you, so message me. I love taking your messages and creating topics from them. Please rate, review, subscribe, and share my show with those who have an interest in health and wellness. Thank you for tuning in, and see you next week.